God has something in mind for you today, and I just believe that with all my heart. Did you get what you expected? Well, on that day 22 years ago, we didn't necessarily get what we expected, but God knew. God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly where we're at. He knows exactly how to bring us through and help us navigate the trials of life. Life never stops throwing, never stops, and most of the time it never runs out of things to throw at you. And it's just the world that we live in. It's just the fallen state of humanity. But thank God that we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we overcome by the word of our testimony and not loving our lives unto death. So this thing's all temporary. That's why Jennifer already said we can't necessarily look at what we see, because the things that we can see, according to the Apostle Paul in the book of Corinthians, are temporary. They are subject to change. So what does he say? So we look at the things which we cannot see, for they are eternal. So God has something in store for you, and we just need to make sure we set our expectations according to his plan. And when things don't come and work out the way that we want them to, let me just say this, God knows. You don't catch God off guard in any situation of your life. He's there. He's Alpha Omega. He's beginning and the end. He sees everything. He's not linear. He stands above it and sees upon the circumference of the earth. The earth is his footstool, so he doesn't look at life coming at you this way. This is, my future, and that's my history. He stands above it all. He sees your future and your history as he looks down upon it with great understanding and anticipation, and know that the plans he has for you are to bless you and to prosper you. As a matter of fact, the book of Jeremiah says in chapter 29, God has a plan for you, plans to bless you, to prosper you, and to give you an expected end. So we just set our expectations according to God's word and God's will, and we know that no matter what it looks like, you're going to come through. You're going to make it through this thing. Hey, Jesus already defeated our greatest enemy, death, hell, and the grave. I mean, what more? Come on, we put our trust in him. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave his life for us. You know, a lot of times people... The greatest seedbed for disappointment is, in most situations, unmet expectations. Did you get what you expected from a certain desire based upon an action or a behavior, on a waiting or a word? Sometimes we got to match not necessarily our expectation with God's expectation, but his timing with our timing. I mean, right now, Carson is 12 years old, and one day he has an expectation to drive a car, and I'm perfectly fine with that, but it won't be tomorrow. But that doesn't change his expectation. So you got to line your timing up with God's plan and God's will and God's expectation for your life. So I'm thinking of a couple of situations in Scripture, and we'll go to some Scripture here in just a moment. But how many remember when Lazarus, brother of Mary and Martha, died unexpectedly? And they sent word to Jesus, who was delayed himself for 4 days before he ever came to Bethany and addressed the situation. But Mary and Martha's expectation was, as soon as Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick, he's going to come running and he's going to heal Lazarus. Because they knew Jesus was a healer. They've seen him move in that capacity before. They've seen that Jesus could supply needs supernaturally and even defy physics and walk on water. They understood that Jesus, so they knew him in several different capacities. But there was a capacity that they did not know him in, that he wanted to reveal himself in a way that they'd never seen him before. So sometimes, if you find yourself in a situation that you've never been in before, it's because Jesus wants to reveal himself to you in a way that you've never seen him before. It's sometimes tough on our flesh. It's sometimes stretches our faith, tries our patience. But listen, if we put our hope and trust in him and we trust and believe his word, things will come to pass according to his plan for your life. So here Jesus delayed his coming. What happened? Lazarus died. Mary and Martha, their expectations were not met because Jesus didn't show up when they wanted him to show up, because they knew if he showed up while he was still alive that Jesus could heal him. But they didn't know what to expect after he was already dead. Sometimes we have certain expectations and we set our what we may consider realistic behavior from the Word and from the Spirit and from Jesus' plan for our life based upon our past experiences and how we know Jesus in our past. Not necessarily an understanding of how he wants to reveal himself in a way to us for our future. So here they are in Bethany. Lazarus is dead. Jesus shows up 4 days later and they started complaining. Jesus, if you would have been here, Lazarus would not be dead because we know that you could have healed him. But now that he's dead, it's too late. Can I just say this morning? It's never too late when God wants to get involved in an area of your life. He's more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think, ask, or imagine. So if you're sitting this morning in the seat of unmet expectation and you're disappointed in an area of your life, can I just say, if it's God's will and it's God's plan, it's not over yet. Don't give up. Don't cast away your fearless confidence. It has great recompense and reward. God will make a way for you. So when they just couldn't figure it out why Jesus didn't show up when they wanted him to show up, it was way past midnight, and we do that sometimes. God, he may not come what you want him, when you want him, but he'll always be there on time. Anybody ever said that? So we think that on time is before the clock strikes midnight. He showed up just at the midnight hour, just in the nick of time. He just made it. He barely got there. It's like we see Jesus rushing out of the house, and my wife, she wants to make it to work. She's rushing. She's getting her makeup on, and she's rushing out of the house, and she drives a half mile down the road and realizes she forgot her phone, and she has to drive back, and now she's worried that she's going to be late for work. And she's never done that. I'm just making an example. She's realizing she might be late for work, and so she's driving. She's trying to hurry up and get there, because if she doesn't hurry, she won't be there on time. Listen, that's not Jesus. Jesus is not panicking over your situation. He's not afraid that he's not going to make it on time. He already knows. He's superseded time. Time is that system by which we measure duration. It has a beginning and it has an ending, but Jesus is eternal. He will always be. And God is dealing with you and I from the aspect of eternity, not just time. So he's doing something great within us. So he comes into town. He's not rushing. Oh my gosh, did I miss it? Did I miss it? Is he dead? Did I miss him? Shoot, I missed him. He's gone. Like, I can't do anything about that. So let God just build your faith this morning. And what Jesus did in the lives of Mary and Martha, and when he brought Lazarus forth from the grave, Jesus wanted to show himself to Mary and Martha in a way that they never seen him before. So we think that, I knew you could heal him because we've seen you heal. Matter of fact, we've seen you heal Peter's mother-in-law. We've seen the withered man's hand straightened in the temple. We heard of all the things that you did in the house. And we're going to talk about a couple of those this morning. But in this particular situation, they didn't know him as one having the power over death. So he asked them this question, and I've preached this before. He asked them this question: do you believe that your brother will live? Mary and Martha said, sure, he'll live in the last days, the resurrection. And Jesus is about ready to blow away their theology. They had a certain expectation, and they thought they knew what resurrection was. They figured the resurrection was an event in a certain place, in a certain time, and we'll set our expectation on that. But today, he's dead. And Jesus says, well, let me just clear this mess up for you. I want to show you something that you don't know. I want to reveal myself in a way to you that you've never seen me before. He says the resurrection is just not an event. He says, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. And he that believeth upon me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Let me just share this with you. He turns over to the four-day dead body of Lazarus. He says, come forth. And he shows Mary and Martha that the resurrection is just not a place in time. I'm the resurrection. I'm what this thing is all about. I'm the one that you can put your hope in. I'm the one that you can put your trust in, because I'm the one that will defeat death, hell, and the grave. I'm on a specific assignment, and I'm here to share with you the plan and the will of my Heavenly Father, and that is to give you eternal life, and I am He. Here I am. So let me just reveal myself to you in this manner before. Let me encourage you today, wherever you're at, whatever you're facing, You might be coming up against some things here shortly. I was talking to Sandy this morning. She has a serious surgery here in a few weeks. And so, you know, there's all kinds of information flying through the air and the words trying to help establish her expectation. Well, it takes this long to recover, and this is not a good situation, and this has happened before. So these words are trying to paint pictures, and words try to create and paint pictures in your mind to give you an expectation of what should happen in the future based on past experience and behavior. But can I tell you, God blew Mary and Martha away. They had a certain expectation based upon past experience and behavior, and God said, it ain't so. I'm bigger than that situation. So don't let all these words and all this information based upon other people's experiences stop you from moving forward with God's plan for your life. You don't have to be afraid. God is greater. So let faith arise. Let God arise on the inside of you. Let his enemies be scattered out of your life. So we want to set expectation according to God's plan and God's will. Look what he says here. And let's look at the book of Acts chapter 28. And we'll start here and we'll move around. I love this story. I probably preach it too much. I don't know. But I love this story. Acts chapter 28. And then we'll probably move around a little bit to Mark. I hope you're ready to feast on the word today. Isn't that what we're here for? And we're trusting God to show up and make the difference, and he will in your life. So, Acts chapter 28. Last week, man, God really, really moved in a word for us. And the word last week, we started out in over there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, talking about with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we're just talking about and building our faith based upon not just what we believe, but we have to have words that correspond with what we believe to produce the promise that God shows us in his will for our life. So you can't believe one thing in your heart and then be speaking something else and expect the fruit of what you believe in your heart. Because what the heart man believes onto sozo, salvation. Salvation means wholeness, healing, preservation, deliverance, soundness of mind. So if you believe with your heart, salvation, sozo, but you're unwilling to confess onto that. In other words, you got to say something about what you believe. If it's not, it's not big enough for you to talk about, it's not going to be big enough to move you. And if there's anything big enough to talk about in this life, probably the biggest thing that we need to learn to talk about is the salvation, the experience that we've had in God and our relationship with him as it pertains to his word and his will for our life. Man, let us be witnesses to God. And the more you talk about what God's done for you, the more you share your testimony, where you was and where you're at and where he's going, whether other people are going to accept it or reject it. Listen, some will, some won't. So what? That's not up to us. We're to plant, we're to water. God will bring the increase. That's up to him. But something else happens. Not only are you planting seed in the hearts of other people, you're speaking words of faith that you're hearing with your own ears, that's building your own holy faith up, that's positioning you for victory in every area of your life. So we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth based upon God's word. So I believe, I confess onto salvation. So turn to your neighbor, say something. Yeah, you got to say something. All right, Acts chapter 28. Love this story. This is a story where Peter's on his way to Rome to testify before Caesar. God gave him a word. He's gone there. This great story in chapter 27, 28 of how God is talking to, said Peter, he's talking to Paul and giving Paul instruction. This is what's going to happen. You're going to get there. There's going to be trouble in the sea. There's going to be trouble in your journey. They come up against what would be known here as a northeastern. They get totally wiped out. They get shipwrecked on this island on his way to destiny. Can I tell you, even if you're on your way to destiny and your ship and your mode of transportation gets wrecked and you find yourself on a little detour, don't think that the detour isn't part of the bigger plan. You know, in my mind, I think, God, did you have to really wipe out a perfectly good ship to make a point here? You know, couldn't you just take him straight there? I don't know. Sometimes I think about that. But what about this? How far will God take you out of your way to get a message to one person? Or how much would God inconvenience you to get a message to one. Jesus loves all of humanity. Now, I'll say this, all of humanity don't love him, all of humanity won't love him, but Jesus loves everybody. So sometimes he will inconvenience your life just for a moment to get a message to one person. He took Philip out of a great revival. He took Philip out of in Samaria, Acts chapter 8. He was in a move of God, a powerful revival, takes him out of a revival, sends him into the desert, the Bible says, to talk to an Ethiopian eunuch to get one message, one word to one man that was going to influence a whole nation. So what you might think is a distraction, God, why would you take me out of the middle of this situation? This is a good spot. It's the sweet spot. I love being here. Anybody ever get comfortable in the sweet spot of your life and then, gosh, it just didn't last as long as you wanted it to? I can't get any help up here. I might as well just go home, preach to myself because it's okay to talk back. It's a talk back church. You can get up and shout and run, dance if you want. I don't care. If you love God and you're doing it for the glory of the Lord, I mean, you know, you don't know like I know what God's done for me. Anybody on fire for Jesus? Do we not need revival? Do we not need an outpouring, a fresh outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life? Troy needs it. America needs it right now. The world needs it. If we never needed a power of God before, we sure do need it now. Problem with America right now today is a bunch of lifeless churches. You know, getting together for a little bit of, you know, he said, she said, and let's hang out. You know, let's find a place where we can meet and whatever. You know, I didn't come to church to meet anybody today. I'm glad you're all here, and I hope I get to meet everybody. But I came because I'm expecting God to touch my life and touch your life. I want God to do something. You don't need another word, another sermon from another man. You need God to intervene in that area of your life. He wants to put his finger on that issue and fix it for you. I love the songs that they were singing today, man. Just more of you, God. I want more. We really have to want more. We got to get our expectation up to establish a precedent for what we believe God's going to do and bring into our life. So where was that? We were on this wrecked ship heading to this island. Here, he's on his way to testify. God sends him on a detour. He's got a plan for Paul to show these barbarian something about the power of God. It says here, it says when they escaped and they knew that he was on the land, verse 1, it was Melita, and this was a barbarous people. These were barbarians. They weren't believers. They weren't Jews. They were just barbarians. They were pagans. And they showed us not any little kindness. They kindled a fire and received everyone because of the presence of rain and because it was cold. So they're getting some fire together. They're trying to help them out. They get them off of the sandy beach there, try to, you know, help them out of the shipwreck. And Paul was out serving right here again. He was gathering a bundle of sticks and he laid it on the fire, and there came a viper out of the heat and fastened onto his hands. Here comes a viper out of the heat. Paul's just going about doing his business, trying to serve people. You ever done that? I'm just trying to serve you, Lord. Why'd he bite me? Why'd you let him bite me? You know, what did I do to deserve this? I'm just on my way to where you told me to go, and now you wrecked my ship. Now you let a snake bite me in the hand. What's really going on here? Kind of like Joseph. Wait a minute. I'm the favorite one. I'm the one that's going to be on top. I'm the one everybody's going to bow down to. What am I doing in this pit? Oh, what am I doing in this prison? Why am I sitting under all this false accusation from this harlot in Potiphar's house? What's going on here? So sometimes when you're on your way, your resistance is not your enemy. Resistance is just an indicator that you have an enemy and that you may have located him on your way to God's best for your life. So when you come up against resistance in your life, don't look at it and say, God, why? Look at it and say, Lord God, you're building my faith muscle to help me plow right through this storm. You're going to help me plow right through this old nasty snake that thinks he's going to inject some venom in my life and make me bitter against your plan. I refuse, Lord. Although all these things are going on out here, let us stop and just ask ourselves for a moment. This is happening out here, but what are you trying to do in here? God's working on our hearts. He's molding us and he's shaping us and he's creating in us a right spirit, preparing us for his return and getting us ready to see him face to face. Aren't you glad about that? Hallelujah. So when you got some issue going on out here, check the in here and say, okay, God, what can I do better? What are you trying to get my attention? Lord, you're trying to erase that stain. You're trying to address that issue. So resistance is not your enemy. It's just an indicator that you have won that storm. Hey, that's just nothing. That's just a little bump in the road on your way to God's best for your life, his plan for your life. But if you think that you're going to make it without, I've said this so many times before, you'll never find an unscarred champion in the Bible. You're not going to get to total victory without some scar somewhere. I mean, Jesus, the highest expression, the apex of our following, he's got scars. He told Thomas, put your fingers in my scars. Check this out, man. I've been wounded. Are we greater than our master? Absolutely not. But with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that causes us to overcome every situation that we may face in this life. So Paul's on his way. Here he goes. His ship gets wrecked. I mean, he might have stopped right there and said, forget it. I forget you, Caesar. Just die. Sometimes we just give up too soon. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't quit. It's not over yet. I say this all the time. We are built to endure. The Bible says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. You've got a spirit of endurance on the inside of you. You can make it. You will get through this thing, no matter what life has to throw at you. You are more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You've got his spirit on the inside. Think of this. I mean, just I know we just cliche and we think it's just, oh, that's cute. That's nice fodder. But you're created in the image of God. Think of that for a moment. You are created in the image of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, ah, I didn't know God looked like that. You're created in the image of God, formed from the dust of the ground. He breathed in your nostrils the breath of life. You became a living soul. God put his very essence on the inside of you, his God consciousness, his nature, his intuition, his communion with the Spirit. It's living on the inside of you. You can do a whole lot even without communion with God. Human beings have done it throughout millennium, and the great accomplishments and inventions that we've been able to do and the strides that we've been able to make in progress and civilization, and many times totally without God. Just imagine, put God in the mix. I say this all the time. People want to do eternity with God, but no one wants to do time with him. Let's do time with him. Let's just not get a ticket to ride and say, God, I can't wait to get to heaven to meet you. No, we're supposed to know him here and say, God, what can you do in me? What can you do through me in this life right now? And when I get to heaven, it's not going to be like a big eye-opening experience. Oh, that's what he looks like. When I get to heaven, I'm going to know him as I'm going to see him and know him as he is. I've been communing with him. It's not like, okay, I'm going to die tomorrow or 25 years from now and go up and meet Jesus. I've already met him. I already know him. His spirit lives on the inside of me. I commune with him every day. Can you imagine? And so when we get there, we're like, where's Jesus at? Are you Jesus? I'm going to know him. I'm going to recognize him. I've been fellowshipping with him. I'm going to run to him with wide open arms and say, oh, I've been waiting for this face-to-face encounter with you. So glad we could communicate, you know, through text messaging all these years. So glad we could communicate here on a different vibe, spirit to spirit. But man, I know the scripture said we shall behold him. And that great getting up morning, you're about ready to behold him. You're not going to be surprised at what he looks like, how he acts, how he behaves, and what he even says, because you were talking to him just 5 minutes earlier on the other side. He was talking to you. You were talking to him. That's the relationship we need to have with our Lord. We want more. We want to get closer. All right, so now he's all snake bit. He's got an issue. Where'd he bite him at? Bit him in his hand, didn't he? Just got him right there. Bit him on his hand. Look what happens here. Verse 4. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging on his hands, they said among themselves, no doubt. I mean, they had no doubt. They were convinced. The statement that he was about to say was the absolute truth based upon what he saw. Sometimes we make statements of absolute truth. What we think is absolute truth based upon what we saw. Remember, people develop belief systems most of the time based upon their past experience or what someone else said they know is a fact. And you can't listen to most of these professors today. Hello. They're not teaching truth. Truth is the way things really are. Do you know what science really is? Science is just the basic discovery of how God does things. Like we're somehow void of any type of higher knowledge, and all of these discoveries are of some great human achievement. Have you lost your mind? There is a God in heaven, and there will be a great reckoning one day. Someday we will reach up for a hand a little bit bigger than ours. We might think, and we may have made ourselves God, and we may have made ourselves and created God in our own image, but we're going to find out that the word is true. He is who he says he is. Yeah, his eyes are like flames of fire. His hair is white as wool. I just got to stop preaching right now. He's got a name written on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's a two-edged sword proceeding out of his mouth. This is the God that we serve. All right, so they made this statement. No doubt. No doubt this man is a murderer. He's got to be a murderer. Because he escaped from the sea, and yet vengeance suffereth him not to live. So they, in their superstition, they have no doubt. They have already figured it out. You know, people will do that to you. They'll see you in a shortcoming. They'll see you in a moment of weakness. They'll see you when you've just been snake bit. They might see you in a moment of fear. They might just say, well, you an addict, this is no doubt going to be your future. Well, you've been divorced, this is no doubt going to be your future. Well, you know, you're born on that side of the track. This is the color of your skin. This is where you're at. This is your gender. No doubt this is going to be your future. Don't let people make no doubt assessments of what they think you are going to be and become based upon a moment of failure or weakness or who you used to be or the sin that you used to be caught up in. Listen, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but through the blood of Jesus, he has wiped the slate clean. God's given us a brand new life. He that is in Christ is a brand new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So go ahead and try to tell me, no doubt you know what I'm going to be because you saw at one time in my life a snake hanging from my hand trying to inject his venom and cause death to come to me. Hey, nobody knows it better than I do. I was there. I felt the pain. I understand the venom. I know what I did. But it's not over because you have a no doubt moment about me. I can't get any help up here in this Holy Ghost church or whatever we are. We're other. Back in the day, they put you in the newspaper. They say, You got your Lutheran, you got your Baptist, got your Presbyterian, you got your Episcopalian, you got your Church of God, Church of God in Christ, Assembly of God. And then at the end of the list, there's this other thing called other. We were other. They're trying to help set your expectation. Well, what can we expect if we go to that other church? Beware, they're going to play with snakes. They got issues. They're excited about God. They actually clap and dance in church. What's the matter with those people? They got issues. Somebody leaped in that church. Shoot, let's go to the bar where it's normal. He said, no doubt. What's he doing? He's setting an expectation. They've set an expectation upon what they no doubt know to be true because the snake bit him. And so, look what they said here. And when they saw, they assessed what was going to happen based on what they saw. Let me just say this. If we see how God does things, in the book of Genesis, God didn't saw and say. He said and he saw. Most people saw and say because they got an opinion about what they saw. Like I said, based upon whatever experience they may have had. But God didn't saw something and then say something. He said something. And then he saw what he said. We call those things that be not as though they are, the book of Romans says. We don't call those things that are as though they be not. We call those things that are not as though they are. We speak and say faith. So what did God do? God said, let there be light. He called forth not what he saw, but what he didn't see. And when he called it forth in faith, he called it forth. And then what did he say? And God saw the light and he said it was good. These folks are calling and making assessments, establishing expectation, belief systems, setting their faith. What are we doing here today? We're trying to get our faith turned right side up so we can march forward and possess God's promise for our life. But if we're establishing our expectation upon what we see, we may never get what he said. Does that make sense? If we see, well, you know, based upon the statistics, and this is what's going to happen because statistically speaking, this is what we can expect. God wants to blow the statistics away. He is an odds breaker. God plus one is a majority. He told Gideon, he said, Gideon, get on back with those 30,000 soldiers. What are you doing? I don't need all that. You're setting your expectation based upon what you see. David, quit taking a census. You're making me mad. Trust my word. Trust what I say. And don't worry if it's past midnight and Lazarus is dead. I'm bigger than all that. Glory to God. Boy, I'm about ready to run through a troop and leap over a wall. So he says, no doubt he's a murderer. This is, and then they're expecting to see something. So look what he said. Look what happens here. And he hath escaped the sea, not suffered to live. Verse 5. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked. They still looking. They're looking at you. They're looking at you. I know who you are. I know who your mommy is. I know who your daddy is. I know the neighborhood you grew up in. I know you dropped out of school. I know you. You was most likely to not succeed. I'm still looking. Howbeit they looked, and when he should have swollen. Expectation. They were expecting him to swell. Or fallen down dead suddenly. So they had two expectations. First, he's supposed to swell up. First, and they're looking at you. You're supposed to quit. You're supposed to throw in the towel. You're supposed to give up on this Jesus thing. You're supposed to stop going to church. You're supposed to trust God. Stop trusting God for your finances. Stop involving God in your business. What do you need God for? Stop it. Setting expectation. You should have swollen up. You should have been dead by now. Boy, if I could have a dime for everybody that's wished me dead. If I'd dime for every person said, I hate that man. You're going to serve God. You're going to stand up for righteousness. You're going to declare the word of God. You're going to stand up for truth. You're not going to make everybody happy. Get out of this Americanized mentality of what the gospel is. It's a fraud. Are you with me? There is no such thing as a safe space. We are raising and training up a generation of weaklings. It's no safe space. What is a safe space? Huh? You're trying to create an atmosphere where there is no offense. You're bound to fail. There's no such thing as an offense-free environment. Jesus said, it must needs be. Offenses are going to come. And then he says, does this offend you? Let me mess you up. I'm going to offend you. The truth is going to hurt and offend people. The truth will make you mad. Can I get a witness? Anybody get mad at the truth? The truth will make you leave. The truth will make you come back. And the truth will set you free. Let your conscience side with truth, and it always will if you don't sear it with a hot iron and the lies and the deceptions of Satan. Your conscience will be in communion with the truth of God's reality if you allow it. Don't surround yourself with people that deny the existence of God because somehow they figured this thing out. So you don't believe in God, huh? How does it feel not to believe in anything? So you think that we came from nothing, and nothing produced nothing, and a big bang produced a big bang from nothing. That's interesting. It takes a lot of faith to believe that. Wouldn't you just take for just a moment and think this way? Use that same faith to believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and light was. Woo! So much easier. We think that a non-intelligence existence created an intelligent being. DNA has an absolute software design, and it was not random. God is real. I don't care if you don't believe it. Most people don't want to believe that God is real because they got some sin they don't want to have to fess up to. Men love darkness more than light, therefore, and reject the light because their deeds are evil. All right, are we finishing up? Oh, there's my clock. I'm almost done. Turn to your neighbor and say, I wish he'd hurry up. Should have swollen. That's right. Should have swollen. Should have fallen dead suddenly. But after they had looked, look, they keep looking. They're watching. I just love these people. These people are awesome. Just check. It's like, wait a minute. Okay, this guy, he just got bit by a snake. I don't see anywhere in the story where they rush to him. I'm gonna help a brother out. Where did they rush to him? I mean, if my wife got bit by a snake, I think I rushed to her. Oh, you got bit by a snake. Oh, she dropped in the fire. Watch what's going to happen next. She's going to swell up and die. Watch this. Well, that's what they were doing. They were just looking. You'd think they at least, you know, cut it open, suck the venom out, which doesn't work, I guess. But they were just talking about, watch it, watch it, watch him, watch him. Get ready, get ready. It's about ready to go. But they kept looking. These people, they're genius. They're scholars. Watch this now. And while, after they looked a great while, and they saw, they looked, and they saw that no harm come to him. Look at that. They changed their minds. You know, when we live in God's will for our lives, God's plan for our lives, when we survive the storms of life and still have our faith, when we survive the snake bit and the venom of being hurt by other people, and we didn't let it turn into roots of bitterness, and we learned to love and forgive the unforgivable, they're looking. You're about to change somebody's mind. Don't ever give up on somebody that's still looking. Oh, they may for a while continue. Well, they'll point out your failures. They'll keep pointing out the snake bite. They'll keep pointing out, you know, the shipwreck. They'll keep pointing out. But you just keep smiling. Keep trusting God in the face of death. You keep standing up and praising the Lord in the faith and in the face of broken relationships. You keep standing up and say, praise the Lord. In the face of a lost business, you stand up and say, praise the Lord. Whatever you're facing, your ministry, praise the Lord. God is able. You lost a child. I got to praise him anyway. It hurts, but I'm going to praise him through my pain. I lost everything that I own, but I still got to praise him. My ship that I was traveling on has been turned into nothing. I've lost, but I'm going to praise him. Listen, you're going to change some people's minds. You're going to change somebody's mind because they're looking at you expecting one thing. You're going to give them something else. You're not going to swell up and die just because this life threw a bunch of crazy stuff at you. You're not going to give up just because Jesus didn't show up before your brother died. You're not going to quit. You're going to trust God and know that His word is true. Allow it to rise up and swell up on the big inside of you. You know, Satan has one thing in mind. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, Satan comes to Eve. The Bible says he's more cunning than any serpent in the field. He's a snake. No one's been a loser longer than Satan. Old Slewfoot. His destiny is sealed. People that serve Satan for material gain and praise and fame in this life have lost their minds. They are delusional. Death will level the playing field. At last I saw, nobody gets out here alive. What's the old saying? Never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse? Not going with you. Whatever they put in King Tut's tomb, still there. King Tut not there. But his corn sitting there. Well, they found corn in Tut's tomb, and then they planted it, and it produced. Oh, there's a sermon in that, isn't there? There's power in a seed. Do you know Jesus was a seed? But anyway, all right, I'm finishing. Is your faith getting built up a little bit? I mean, come on. He changed their minds, and then they said, oh, he must be a god. I mean, these guys are just radical. I mean, there's no middle of the road for these dudes. You're either a murderer or you're God. Oh. But if you endure, you outlast your pain, you outlast your critics. Don't let anybody push you out of where God's put you. Well, we heard a great testimony last week from Sister Mary. You stand your ground. Choose your heel to die on and plant your stake. Bless God, I shall not be moved. I know in whom I have believed, and I trust Him. I'm putting my hope in Him. Now, I may have some unmet expectation. I may be in a situation like Mary Martha. You may have some unmet expectation. But let me encourage you today, get ready for God to show you Himself in a way that you've never seen Him. Satan comes to Eve and says in Genesis chapter 3, what are we dealing with here? We're dealing with words again. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, Satan, the serpent who's more cunning than any beast of the field, comes to Eve and he says, has God really said? Did God really say that? God didn't say that. Are you crazy? You're not going to die. You're going to eat that fruit. You're not going to die. He's preaching Luciferian doctrine. He's teaching doctrine here. He says, you're not going to die. And she didn't die physically. But you know what he says? He says, God's just trying to keep something from you. God's the bad guy. I'm the good guy. And everything you need is in knowledge. The devil is a liar. That's why these humanists today think that somehow they're going to metamorph themselves into transhumanism and they're going to be able to upload and download their souls into some ethernet somewhere and live forever. They have lost. They're crazy people. They're crazy. They're doing their best to try to integrate, you know, carbon and flesh so they can live forever. Jesus already figured that out for you. I don't want to live forever some ethernet, do you? I don't want somebody to Google search me on the internet and boom, I pop up.
Oh, anyway.
These people are crazy. They're Luciferians. They've convinced sect of humanity, and they've been doing it for millennium, that God is the bad guy because he's keeping something from you that's going to enable you to live forever. That's the doctrine. So he's keeping, not he, because he says, and he just knows the moment that you eat that, you're going to be like him. You're going to know what he knows. You're going to be like God. Well, she was already like God, creating his image. He convinced her that there was something in the fruit that was going to enable her to be something that God was trying to keep from her. God's not trying to keep anything from us. He loves us. He did not even withhold his own son. Shall he not give unto us freely all things that pertain to life and holiness? If you just have this little bit more knowledge, then you can. I love technology. I think it's a wonderful thing. I think it's a two-edged sword, though. It's a blessing, and it's going to end up being a cursing. Because with the same technology we're all getting sucked into, there's coming a day what's going to be used against you. They're just waiting for people like my age to die. We're the resistance. Not too many of us left. Anyway, God is good. We overcome and we win. All right, let's wrap this up. I'm closing. He says, has God really said? Did God really say that? He's making the same question today. Has God really declared that? Results change when your behavior changes in response to new understanding. When you believe one thing and say something contrary, you void the power. You become double-minded. God has a plan. Your expectation should change with your understanding, no matter what your past experience is trying to tell you. Faith cannot be exercised where the will of God is not known. So if you want to produce God's promise and it's going to take faith to do it, you better find out what his will is. So if you're trying to say, well, I hope God will do this. I hope God will intervene. I hope God, well, hope is only one side of the coin of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen. If you have hope without substance, you're creating a wish list. This is your substance. This is what we're, okay, this is the other side of the coin of faith that's going to produce the promise. My win, boy, I hope, Lord, why don't you? I wish you. Why can't you? Well, find out what he said about it. And if he said no, it's just no. Then you can just remove the expectation, can't you? Stop wasting your time. When we pray and ask God things, it's like this. It's either yes, no, or not right now. And you can establish and remove a lot of disappointment from your life if you'll just find out what the rules are. Find out what what's his will. This is his will and testament. So I'm going to use, I'd rather be lazy and not read the will and just sit around and hope for something good for the rest of my life. When you could actually read the will, set an expectation based upon what he said, activate the power of faith in your life, and then call him out on it. God, you said. I didn't say, you said. People get mad at me and leave church, don't come out. Well, you can't believe you said that. I didn't say it. He said it. I love you. I'm just the messenger. Let's go have lunch. Let's have some coffee. How can I defuse this? I'm just telling you what he said. Why would you do that? You knew that would offend me. I'm sorry. But I got to answer to him. Not you. We celebrate things. We celebrate people in our lives. I mean, we celebrate like these pro athletes. Oh, man, ain't he great? Ain't he wonderful? Oh, look at that. Oh, cheer, 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 cheer. Listen, LeBron James ain't ever going to pay your phone bill. LeBron James ain't ever going to pay your rent. He's not going to come to your bedside when you need prayer. He's not going to counsel you when you need marriage help. He's not going to do that. I ain't got nothing against LeBron James or any of them. I'm just telling you, let's surround ourselves and celebrate something that could actually help us in our time of need. And if we do that, then we can have a great opportunity to give God praise and glory in every situation of our life. Let's pray. Father God, we love you today. We thank you for your word. I know, Father, that there are many people maybe sitting here today that are sitting with unmet expectation. Maybe they've been snake bit and somebody's just hoping that they roll over and die. I believe today, and I just declare over you this morning, you're going to change somebody's mind about you. Because you're not going to quit. You're going to shake it off. You're going to begin to establish your expectation, not on what you see, but on what he said. If God says you're blessed, you're blessed. God says you're healed, you're healed. If he says you're delivered, you're delivered. If he says you're saved, you're saved. Lord God, we put our trust in you. If he says you're his favorite, I don't care if you're in the pit right now, you're his favorite. If he says you're going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord, I don't care if you've been bit by a venomous snake, you're going to live and declare the works of the Lord. If your checkbook says that you're not going to be able to make it, the boss gives you a pink slip, I declare unto you, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. He's a way maker today. Whose report are we going to believe this morning? Hallelujah. Can we pray this together? Say this with me this morning, if you will. Say, Heavenly Father, my expectation is of you, not based on history, my past experiences. They will come in alignment with your word, your will, and your plan for my life. I pray, Lord, you heal me of my wounds, that you remove the venom. Help me change somebody's mind about you by the way I live my life and celebrate your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.